Call to order the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee for September 6, 2022. It's 8 a.m. We're going to consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency meeting in purpose, person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of the attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code. Are there any objections?
No, I concur with that.
Hearing none, let's move on to comments from the public. Amelia, any hands or chats?
Nope, not so far.
All right, and we're moving on to the monthly update, Michael.
All right, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's staying cool out there. For SB 170 projects, our water treatment facility, we've received a 30% design update from HDR. Marty was in on that meeting. Currently at that 30% level, the current opinion of probable construction cost at the high end of the range is about $640,000. Adding in the design contract of $230,000 brings the estimated total to $870,000. During the CIP process, we estimated the project being around $890,000. So we'll see how that changes as we get more through design, more completed design. We have received RFP responses, and we've provided those responses to our review committee to provide a recommendation to the board on September meeting for the recycled water disinfection project design RFP responses. Select our designer. I think we may have some updates soon for Grand Lee safety improvements. I haven't gotten through all my emails, but I think there's probably something in there. Moving forward, lift 6A. Once again, our three phase replacement pumps and replacement VFDs and have been installed and are currently in operation. So I believe 6A is complete. 3B. We have temporarily repaired the old single phase pump to regain redundancy while we size our adequate three phase replacement pumps. The single phase pumps you can't buy anymore, and eventually we're going to get into problems if we keep trying to rebuild those. So we're moving towards replacing them with more updated modern three phase replacement pumps. The first step in this is to update the panel with VFDs, and we need to get that ordered soon. We got an estimate for about 48,000, and we'll be receiving a quote soon for the replacement pumps, the wet well configuration that needs to be done with the new pumps, and the bypass pumping is a part of that project. It's my hope that we get these done prior to the end of October. And a lot of that's gonna depend on our pump availability. So I'm in the process of getting a couple of RFPs out, both for a mechanical pump supplier and electrician, so we can streamline all these projects and use the same person for these projects. So we're going to select those people via RFP to get a, you know, we've got a lot of projects that need to get done, and I think selecting a good sole source, both for the electrician and the pump provider and installer through the RFP process will help us achieve the goals that we need to achieve this year to catch up. We'll talk more about the Lake 11 project later on in the program. Our integrated water master plan, we have released an RFP for the update of our district integrated water master plan. The RFP responses are due September 19th, so in about 13 days. There's no update on our minor change research to our main permit. That's gonna be a long process. Our Ruidoso pump replacement update. The pumps were scheduled for replacement the last fiscal year, the flex couplers are, we're having a hard time getting those in. We're being assured that we should get these in early September, so we should get these very soon. We did receive a quote for about $53,000 for updating the variable frequency drives. The current variable frequency drives have surpassed their useful life, we think, by about 5 years, and it would probably be wise to replace those sooner than later. We wouldn't want those to fail. If we do want to move forward with VFDs, we're going to need to process an order very soon, as they're 20 weeks out. And this particular vendor has requested the district prepay for the VFDs due to the relatively high cost of the equipment. And, you know, if this is something that the improvements committee approves of, I would move this to request that we move forward with the VFTs at the next board meeting. I don't know if there's any questions on those while we're at this subject.
Marty, anything?
Well, I don't have a problem sending it off to the board for the next board meeting. No.
Okay.
Agreed.
That'll keep us right on schedule.
Very good. I'll add this to the agenda for the next board meeting.
At the water treatment facility, we have both plants in operation, and we are producing water at a rate of about 2.8 MGD, although that has probably gone up a little bit in the last few days because of the heat. For drainage, we have hired a company called Integrazers to bring in one herd of goats and one herd of sheep to eat down weeds along the district drainage areas. Herds will be here for probably about 20 more days, I think. So far, the utilities crew is pleased with the performance along the drainage channels, and we've got some positive verbal responses that I've received, both email and on the phone, from residents indoors and enjoying the goats being there and appreciating the work that they're doing. I just scanned my emails coming back from all the weekend. I guess there was a couple of issues with people messing with the goats, or maybe goats getting out. Kelly, are you on the call?
Todd, I'm on the call. I can update.
What do you know about this?
So, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, sometime in the evening, I was reading the report this morning on Sunday night. Let me make sure I've got the date right. A group of about 20 kids were out goofing around, and they ended up cutting the fence of the for the sheep and the goats to be kind of contained. And they went in and grabbed two of the baby sheep. So that, you know, was not good at all. And I think the sheep were put back. Everybody was fine. We were unable to locate the juveniles who were out running around. So this happened at 9:39 p.m. on Sunday. So Sunday night. And so the goat herders were called in, the fence was fixed, and the goats are all accounted for. And we're considering putting together a flyer offering a reward for information on who's responsible for cutting the fence and grabbing the goat or the sheep, the baby sheep, and doing whatever happened. But I haven't gotten a full report from Kelly yet, but that's pretty much what I know right now.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. That gets me filled in. Hopefully we don't have any repeats. That's something that I didn't consider that may happen, but you know, these things do happen in the community sometimes.
Any other questions on the goats?
What's that?
Any other questions on this from the board members?
No, I get it. It's unfortunate that this stuff happens, but you're right. It does happen, and it could have been worse. So yeah. Let's move forward.
Absolutely. So we got a recent report in Laguna Joaquin that there were some additional midge fly larvae found, but when you look at the data, the midge fly larva densities were still quite low, even though they came up just a little bit, all well below the 1,000 larvae per square meter. And I think RMA is now moving forward with another dye application to, and they may, in addition, authorize another algicide treatment. But I don't think we're any cause for alarm. I think we're still way ahead of the game with Laguna Joaquin. On reservoirs, there was a reservoir report from July 25th, showed the reservoirs were healthy with some relatively low algae and cyanobacteria, which is blue-green algae levels, and decent clarity levels. Clementia green clean, which is hydrogen peroxide, was conducted for algae on the 25th. The Chesbo treatment for Sea Clear will be conducted soon, probably this week. Our site development update on Riverview, the developers finished the new crossing at Bird Loop and installing retaining wells. Developer will likely begin sewer tying Reynosa this week. On retreats, the district and the developer are working together, various punch list items for the east portion of the project retreats, get those punch list items complete. They're getting close to having a kickoff meeting for the lift station 6B replacement project. So we're getting our electrician involved in that as our representative, and our district engineer did the original design, but they'll be receiving more updated shop drawings soon from the supplier Aqua Sierra. No update on Circle K, Shell, Myriad Gardens 2, the Tractor Supply, really no update. They've just basically broken ground. They've raised one manhole. They're getting their SWIP items in place. And no update on the pet hospital or the PDF office. So that concludes my report, if there's any questions.
Any hands or chats, Amelia, on this report by Michael?
I do have one hand raised, and I'd like to remind everybody I'm setting the timer for 3 minutes. So when you hear the timer go off the alarm, then that's your 3 minutes. And it's John's
And we are going to hold you to the 3 minutes because it's only fair. So go ahead, John.
Can I ask who is reviewing the recycle water disinfection RFP?
Are you talking about the response review committee?
Yeah.
So I'm reviewing it. Martin Pohl is a reviewer. Travis Bohannon is a reviewer. And Tom Henning is a reviewer.
Okay. As an update on the goats and the sheep, are you guys in contract with them for the winter or just for specific stuff?
For 30 days.
Okay.
All right. Amelia, any others?
No, that's all. Thank you.
All right. Let's move on then to communications with the county. Who is this? Tom?
This is me. I decided to publish here at the Improvements Committee a letter that I wrote to the county following some meetings that Michael and Director Merchant and I have had with the county over the past several months, dealing with preparing for the North development and comments for Rancho Marietta North. And so we met with the county at our request, I believe back in March. And we gave them a list of concerns from both my perspective, from the perspective of John Merchant as a citizen, from Kevin Hubert with the RMA, and from the fire department. And so the county came out with a letter of response. And I don't know all the technical names for these things right now, but the county replied with a list of requirements for the North development to meet or consider. And they followed up a month or two later with a phone call to me requesting that we meet again out there at the county. So following that meeting, I summarized the meeting with a letter to Chris Pahuli, which is in, he's a senior planner with the county. And so I wanted this letter to be on the record because I don't want it to be unknown to the improvements committee that I'm doing my job as looking out for the district's concerns as new development takes place. And combining new information with old information, comparing the two, it's important that we move forward with the integrated water master plan that was approved by the board as a capital project this year. And like Michael mentioned earlier, we put out an RFP not too long ago, and the replies are due back to us in the middle of September, at which time we plan on making a selection and moving forward with development of a new integrated water master plan, and also addressing a number of other concerns that I see the district needs to pay attention to with the county. So that's why this letter's here in the packet today. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them as best I can. And then I also know it looks like Mr. Selvin already has his hand up, so he probably wants to talk about it as well.
All right, go ahead, John.
I'll wait till the improvements committee has made their reaction to this letter first.
Marty?
Well, I think CSD is doing their due diligence with regard to providing comments to the county. I'm not up on all of them, but I think that's their job.
So, Tom, question before my comment. This would you kind of go through the time frame here where you're in this, I guess, be the third paragraph that starts on May 6th. We've got the RFPs out for the integrated plan.
Correct.
And responses are due back on the 19th. Who did we send those to? I'm assuming that a packet was sent to the company that did the last one. Is that true?
Michael, I'm going to ask you to jump in on this.
Yeah, that's correct. And a number of other companies. We probably sent this to six or seven companies. And then it's also posted. So additional companies have contacted us with their interest.
Okay. So back to the time frame thing here, Tom. I'm a little bit confused. Requires RMP to work with CSD to commission the new one. That's underway. Provide planning. CSD was asked to provide planning with an updated WSA. Maybe it's the next paragraph where I read something about it can't be done until the development application is ruled complete. I'm a little bit confused about the hows and whys of this process. Could you kind of run us through what's going to happen there?
Based on what I know, because I haven't gone through this process from start to finish before, the county is reviewing the submittal, the recent submittal by Rancho Murrieta Properties on how they're readdressing their development. And I know the map changes periodically, but the last map I saw, it includes a preserve being created around the back end of Calero, the north and east side of Calero. So I think what happens here is the county is about ready to give Rancho Murrieta Properties, and John, it won't count towards your 3 minutes if you correct me on the sequence of things, trust me. But the county is about to submit something to Rancho Murrieta Properties, which gives them a listing of things that they need to complete in order to proceed. And Rancho Murrieta Properties then goes about their business and answers all the county's questions and concerns. In the meantime, the county's made it clear to us that Rancho Murrieta Properties, who we initially had requested fund the integrated water master plan. The county said, nope, they don't need to produce an integrated water master plan. They need to create an updated water supply assessment. And so our position is before the water supply assessment can be updated, the integrated water master plan needs to be complete because the water supply assessment uses information from the integrated water master plan. That's as I know it. So with that coming down the pike, is I asked Michael to put out the RFP some over a month ago in preparation and hope that the board would approve moving forward on the integrated water master plan, which is the direction we're going once we get the RFP responses returned to us on the 19th of September. Is that what you were referring to, Randy?
Well, the sentence that's got me confused is this WSA will be ordered by planning and prepared by CSD once the development application is ruled complete. Is there any reason why it can't be done sooner? I mean, why can't it be done right when the integrated plan is completed?
I agree with you that it's a little confusing. So I think that it can be as soon as the integrated water master plan is completed, then the water supply assessment can be created.
Okay. Again, refresh my memory, what are we estimating the cost of this plan to be, Michael?
The integrated water master plan?
Yes.
You know, I don't have the number in front of me.
Was it in the $100,000?
Yeah. It's I think it was $200,000.
It was $200,000.
Budgeted $200,000.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got one last comment to make, but I'm going to give John his 3 minutes here. And John, comments.
Well, first of all, the water supply assessment update is required by the county and should be developed, updated right now by the CSD. The data that needs to be updated in the water supply assessment is independently available from somebody that does the integrated water master plan. The data is in the district's hands. They don't need to have one to do the other. So that the other thing that I have a problem with is the subterfuge involved with the political action committee having splitting hairs and indicating that they're there as part of the public in a meeting with the county planning and the district's general manager and operations manager. He wasn't there this time, saying that he was not part of the CSD. He was part of the CSD the time they had the May meeting, and it says so on the report we got back from Chris Pahuli to me that said that these are John Merchant director's concerns and a whole list of things that have nothing to do with water, sewer, or drainage. All kinds of EIR questions that will come up once the environmental document is out. So let's just call a spade. We've got somebody on the board that is preventing the development from moving forward against the contractual obligations of the district to provide the water. Remember, under the agreements that have been signed in the past, the district is responsible for providing the water. The developers are responsible for paying for it if it needs to be augmented. That's what the water augmentation fund is for, millions of dollars for additional projects. So don't mistake the idea that the district is short of water anywhere. The water supply assessment based on 825 units back in 2016 is now reduced to 697 units and said there were over 1,000 acre feet of water excess at the time we had 800. So this is a simple update to the fact of what's going to be in storage if that's reduced by 500 acre feet. It means that in a drought year, as we roll out of November and we get into the spring, if our reservoirs aren't 100% full on May 31st, the district's going to have to restrict supply and go to level 2 or level 3 on the drought earlier than they would have. But the amount of water to get through the year and get through the year with the number of EDUs that we have planned, and the reduction of the Calero area. There's so many factual inaccuracies that John has put.
All right, thank you, John. I'm going to hold you to that 3 minutes, and I think you've got pretty much all of what was important for us to hear. So my comment, I just having gotten this letter on Thursday that's dated August 18th, you know, I remember way back when being on the RMA board, and we would put together a letter to the county on development and our concerns or whatever, and we considered it to be important enough that before we sent a letter off like this, we as the RMA board actually we discussed the letter in public at a board meeting. And before we sent off a letter like this, we would all be in agreement, because by you're representing to the county that this is where the CSDs, what our position is. And unless all of the board members have an opportunity to review something as important as this and make any changes if needed. And I read through all this. I don't know if I agree with all this stuff or not, but I think it's important that each board member have an opportunity to address a letter like this that is of utmost importance. And my comment is, I hope this doesn't happen again. I hope that if we're going to send correspondence back and forth to the county about water usage and water availability and its impact on development, that this would be brought to the full board and each board member have an opportunity to ask questions and ultimately either agree or not agree with all of the specifics in something like this. When I saw this letter, honestly, without digging into the specifics of each of the 12 points, it upset me, because I didn't have an opportunity to look at this and say, yeah, I agree or I don't agree before we sent off something like this to the county. So that's my rant. That's my comment. Marty, anything further on this?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I would think as a bare minimum would come to the improvements committee to weigh in on some of this. And I don't know that we know all the issues involved, but it just seems that we weren't very well informed.
Yeah, I think this was an agenda item for the improvements committee at a bare minimum, as you said. And I hope that going forward, this ought to come, anything like this ought to come before the improvements committee before it's sent out and made public. That's, again, that's the end of my rant. Amelia, any hands or chats?
I do have another hand raised. John Sullivan has another comment.
I want to ask a policy question. After point number 12.
Comment?
After point number 12, there's a paragraph there. that says the district is going to meet with Water Resources, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and with water experts in the State Assembly to express our concern of liability as they relate to commitments for future service. Is it the policy of the district now to become a lobbying firm against the developer, or is that just John Merchant's position?
Let me stop you there, John, and say that I would actually like to get our attorney involved in this. We have contractual obligations to provide water to developers, and I believe we're on some shaky ground here with this paragraph, and I don't disagree with you, but I would like to get a legal opinion before I went one way or the other on this. So anyone else?
I don't know. No, sir.
All right. I think we've made our positions clear on this situation. Let's move on to.
What about the assessed water supply assessment?
I'm sorry?
What about the water supply assessment that needs to be done?
Not for you.
If I can chime in, Randy, can I chime in? This is Tom.
Yep.
The water supply assessment, like I said, the sequencing of all this stuff is somewhat new to me, which is why we want to keep current with our discussions with the county. But it is my intent that once we finish the integrated water master plan, that the water supply assessment be based off of that new information. And for the reasons I stated in the letter, but some of those points are very pointed to revelations since the last integrated water master plan was completed. So I think it's important that we pay attention to the environment and to the new information we have on our storage capacity so that the water supply assessment would follow the integrated water master plan as it sits today.
Is that the policy of the district?
Again, Randy wants us to talk to the attorney about that. So let me talk to our attorney before I answer that question.
All right, so that Tom has been given direction, and that we are going to revisit this topic many times in the near future, and as we go along and get more opinions and input, we will make decisions based on those opinions and discussions. So, all right, let's move on to the bids for the Chesbro study. Michael.
Okay, Randy. So for the last board meeting, I had discussed that I was receiving bids because there was some of the board members had expressed interest in performing a bathymetric survey of Chesbro. And so I contacted three organizations and received bids from two of them, one bid for $18,000, another bid for $19,000. And my recommendation is if the district does want to move forward, that we utilize the same consultant that we used for Calero, based on price and the familiarity with their process. I felt they did a pretty good job. And I think that both of the bids were fairly apples to apples as far as the districtization of what they would be surveying. So my recommendation is to move forward with Atkins Engineering for the survey of Chesbro. If the board wants to continue with that, I think the board was in, you know, I don't recall, if I don't think the board voted on anything last board meeting. So I don't know if we actually have to bring it back to the board again to move forward with this project, or if the improvements committee can just give me a nod to move forward. If we do want to move forward, we'll want to do it sooner than later.
I don't know the answer to that, Tom. Can we just approve this here, or do we need to move it back to the board?
In order to hire this company, no, I think you guys can approve it.
Okay.
That's the direction it falls within my authority.
Marty?
Yeah, the only question I had, what's the timing of this?
Well, we want to do it, you know, I want to do it within the next month, because what we'll need to do is transfer some flow, some water from Calero into Chesbro, which we would anyways eventually, just to get the water level to a high enough point where you get a good survey.
You good with it, Marty?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Yeah, I am too. Let's get this going and get it done, Mike.
Okay, I'll move forward with and get a contract going.
Sounds good. All right, update on Lake 11 project.
Okay, a lot has been happening and a lot is yet to happen. This is probably the fastest project I've worked on, just because of the urgency that we've received from the regional board. So just to kind of remind everybody where we are, based on my discussions with the Regional Water Quality Control Board after the second unfortunate recycled water spill, we have accelerated the project so we can prevent, you know, a third spill and the likelihood of some kind of a fine or penalty. We had some CCTV footage done in the 55-inch pipe leading from Lake 11. And we found in that footage that the host pipe was not going to be suitable for a slip line project, just based on the damage to the pipe extending way past the original design host pipe area. The district engineer came up with a alternative plan to just install a new 36-inch storm drain and new overflow for the lake. So we moved forward with a geotech firm, Youngdahl. We hired Youngdahl through our district engineer, and we did a seismic refraction test to make sure that we're not going to be hitting any large quantities of hard rock. The seismic refraction test came in with no real major hard rock in the area. We verified that with our backhoe. We got to like 16 feet. I don't recall, but we were able to basically verify the seismic refraction test that it was a good test. We had a survey crew come out and shoot some topography. Meanwhile, our district engineer is completing the design. They have not completed the design yet. We did have a pre-bid meeting on the 25th of August where we invited contractors that are local to the area currently, Lund, Vierkamp, and Tykert. We're hoping to finalize the designs soon to the point where we can receive unit pricing bids from these three contractors, although I hear that Tykert is not interested. Lund and Vierkamp are interested. The next hurdle is permitting. So we believe that we can receive a categorical exemption for CEQA. We've had to invest in a little bit of environmental work that will occur in parallel with the design and construction. This work should be about 12,000 and includes archaeological and biological surveys that we need to get our exemption through CEQA. The next hurdle is actually having the parts and pieces to put the pipeline together once we receive bids from the contractors. And it was recommended by the contractors that came out to the pre-bid meeting that we procure those materials as soon as humanly possible. So we have already pre-ordered 320 feet of 36 HD storm drain, and that should be coming next week. The big thing that we were looking for, we weren't sure we were going to get in time, is the manhole parts that we're going to need. One of the manholes is 20 feet deep. So we're looking for 6-inch, 72-inch barrel sections. I did get a text that I glanced at this morning from our district engineer signaling that both Lund and Vierkamp would likely be able to get those parts and pieces. So that was a big sigh of relief. So we have a lot of moving parts, and the district engineer, you know, I haven't seen the exact written estimate, he was saying it's probably going to fall somewhere between the $300,000 to $350,000 price tag, including materials, labor, and design, although we'll know better once we receive the initial installation bids. I've put forward that I believe Tom agrees that we can split these costs between drainage and wastewater because it does support our recycled water use, preventing spills. We'll make sure that that's the case. But if we're able to do that, then we'll have the money to pay for the project without having to borrow money from wastewater.
Hey, Michael, this is Tom. I had Amelia bring the map up. Do you feel like explaining it again, or have Randy and Martin seen what the realignment is going to look like already?
I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I could explain it.
I've seen it, and I'm familiar with it. And to me, this is enough information for me. I don't know, Marty, if you want to see the plans when the engineer's done with them, but. All right, so Michael, you got that when the engineer finalizes his plans, make sure that Marty sees a copy of it.
Correct. And Randy, I want to make sure that I'm on the same page with you when we receive bids from the contractors. I discussed this at length with our district engineer. I know that you had made a comment last time when we did the emergency valve replacement. Is, in your opinion, is a unit pricing bid acceptable?
Well, I think that's where the catch 22 is. We need to define what a unit bid means. To me, a unit bid means I've got one manhole, and I'm basing my price on whatever it was you said, 20 lineal feet or whatever. And then I've got X amount of feet of pipe at so many feet, and my unit price is so much. And then in the field, you go out and measure that, and you pay the amount of footage based on the unit price to the contractor. And then if there's extra work, if there's additional work that isn't covered by the unit, then you need to have a way of paying the contractor time and materials. What's his markup? What's he allowed for overhead? Those kinds of things. Is that what you're calling a unit price contract?
Correct. Yeah, now I'm in alignment with that. If that's acceptable to you.
No, I think that's the way it should be done.
Okay. You know?
The only other thing I would add is I probably have one or two other contractors that do prevailing wage rate work that might be interested in that, but I will get with you on that later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, we'll need to get that sooner than later.
Definitely. Yeah.
Cause I think we're going to be, I bet we'll finalize design this week. Perhaps.
Okay.
Joe may differ from that, but I think we may.
So this is Tom. Michael, the plan is to get the bids and put something in a package together for the board to approve on September 21.
Yeah, that's my plan. I hope everything, you know, falls in place.
And to be clear, we ordered about 60,000 in pipe last week.
About 50,000, I think.
So I approved an order on an emergency justification of ordering pipe now so the pipe can get in the supply chain to get here in time to be worked on or to be placed. And we'll ratify that expense at the next board meeting as part of this board packet. And I just want to let the improvements committee know that as well. I made the order based upon a need for an emergency purchase.
Very good. I agree. Go ahead, Marty.
Did we ever sort out the property ownership issues on this?
Well, this is an extension of our stormwater system.
Yeah. And
as you can see, that white line, originally that circle, the riser pipe,
mm-hmm.
and invert, where the mouse is going now, follow that white line, Amelia.
Yeah.
Originally, that line there came from the country club to the river. When the district worked with the developers of the south, it was determined, and I don't know who, when, or why, but it was determined that the stormwater system for the south development would zigzag over there to that pipe where Amelia's mouse is right now, just above there a little bit, and then make that left-hand turn rather than making a straight shot in the first place. So I think right now, doing that extra straight shot is the responsibility of the districts because of the fact that it's an extension of our sewer system, our storm drain system, which we took over the infrastructure when the south was built.
Do we need new easements?
Yeah, I think we would be wise to get an easement from the country club.
Okay.
And that can be part of our district engineer's task.
And I'm gonna get the attorney's look at that one, because what I was told, and again, not in quite a while, but pretty much everywhere we have infrastructure in the ground, we're granted, I believe it's a 6 or 8 foot easement on either side. It might even be 10 feet. So I don't know that we have to issue or sign a specific easement for this. I'm going to find out though, or if this, all the district infrastructure that's in the ground to promote our responsibility, in this case, drainage, storm drainage, I think we're automatically granted an easement, but I'll find out.
And lastly, do we have to get any approvals on these plans?
What do you mean, Marty?
Well, about the people that were concerned about the spill.
No. What they're going to want a copy of what we're doing.
Yeah.
But they're not. They don't get to approve or disapprove. It's basically, we just have to stop spilling recycled water. We're showing them that this is the way that we're doing it. Now, if we build this and we still spill recycled water, well, that's shame on us. We're still in trouble. But I do not believe that the regional board needs to approve this at all.
So you're going to send them a set of the plans as soon as you get them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael, quick question. Did we camera, see that where Amelia's mouse is right now? Versus riser pipe and invert. Did we camera from there to the outfall?
No, we tried to, but we couldn't get in. There was too much sediment at the end where Millie's mouse is to get the camera to go past.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, part of the problem with that outfall, this is maybe a future project, is that it fills up with sand when the river gets high and then it drains back out. The flap isn't currently operating. So what we, one of the solutions, the interim solution is, Mealy, can you move your hand down the white pipe? Keep going where it turns. Yeah, right there. So right here is where the new manhole is going to be excavated and completed. And inside that new 72 inch manhole, we're going to put a flapper gate at the end of the pipe that goes through. So that's going to, in a sense, prevent any water from coming up through the river back through that pipe. You know, that the pipe between there and the outfall also isn't in the best shape, but at this point in time, to do any work inside the riparian area would be a lot more permitting than our $12,000 categorical exemption. I mean, that's That's something that needs to be planned. This project will get us out of trouble. And then we'll keep an eye on this pipe in between the new manhole and the outfall.
Well, I don't disagree that we can look into doing that extra work at some point, but if we've got the recycled water out of this system and we're strictly talking about drainage that's coming off of the south area, even if that pipe leaked a little, it's not the big problem that we're looking at with the leakage of recycled water, right? So
yeah, correct. I mean, I and Joe Domenichelli believe this is going to solve our immediate problem.
Okay. All right. Anything further? Hands or chats, Amelia?
Well, I just wanted to make sure. I think that I need you and Marty to let me know whether or not you want to take this CIP to the board this month. Is that right, Paula? Tom?
Yes, that is correct. We do need to take that for approval.
Yeah. All right. I think the vote is aye.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. And yes, I do have one hand raised. James Q. Public, your 3 minutes is beginning.
All right, James.
Hey, I think this is the first I heard about this second spill. Could somebody tell me what happened?
Michael?
Oh, okay. So, like I'd mentioned, Amelia, can you put your mouse on the map? Put it over where that manhole is or the overflow is. So, go back the other way. Back. There you go, right in that area. So in that area, this is in the storm drain pipe. We had, that's a good spot. There were several defects in the existing metal pipe and that manhole or conduit, that water was leaking from Lake 11 into that conduit and going out to the outfall. Normally that would not be an issue, but it's recycled water in there. And so the first time we caught it, we bought an 8-foot plug and put it into the line and put down sandbags. And that solved the problem when we kept the Lake 11 at a certain hydraulic level. And we drove a stake in the side of the shore to show the country club where the lake needed to be operated so that we did not get a spill. And I think, I don't know, something happened and the Lake 11 got operated over that level. And we did, the plug didn't work like we hoped it had, in part because I believe that the source pipe was so degraded that it was probably out around. And we put some dye in to test if he was getting past the plug, and indeed was getting past the plug. We were already at the limit of the pressure. And so keeping the Lake 11 level at a lower hydraulic level we've been successful in preventing future spills. And we've worked directly with the country club to make sure that they would have enough water during the time that we can investigate, design, and construct the bypass.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. So in summary, the second spill was because somebody filled up hole 11 too much? Is that?
Yeah. It's the level. I think that, you know, the expectation was that it wouldn't have spilled the second time because we had the plug in.
Okay.
Which, you know, would be a reasonable thing to think.
Hey, Michael, can I ask you a quick question? Wasn't the second reported spill made after we TV'd beyond where the mouse is right now and we discovered that the corrugated pipe had eroded even further and has corroded even further in that gap?
I think we CCTV'd after the second spill.
Okay. And we discovered that there's more holes in the pipe than we were aware of to begin with.
That's correct. That goes, you know, further along that alignment.
Which further generated the need to completely realign the pipe that we're proposing today, as opposed to trying to utilize the existing corrugated path, correct?
Yeah, and the risk, you know, because of the extensive damage, the risk would be that we would spend almost as much money slip lining the pipe and still have leaks.
And again, the theory is that rodents of such, like beavers and stuff, have been burrowing underneath and along the pipeline because it gives them probably a crawl space they like. And that's why the water is intruding beyond the shoreline, which is where all this began.
Well, yeah, there may be some rodent action, but I think the most prevalent theory might be that just the overall damage of the metal pipe and the way those pipes were laid back in the day, there was probably a lot of drain rock around those pipes, creating a waterway for that infiltration to go into the damage. And yes, there are a lot of beaver holes, not in the pipe itself, but in the area around the pipe.
All right. Thank you for that. Michael, is anything else on Lake 11? Amelia, anything?
Nothing over here.
Okay, so we are on to director and staff comments. First, staff, anything?
I've got nothing.
Hearing none. Marty, anything?
Yeah, I'd like to hear an update on this water conveyance project we started a while back.
Water conveyance project.
That's the one Joe's been working on, Michael. Do you have an update on those that we're talking about?
We're
talking about Chesboro to Clementia, and we're talking about either Chesboro or Clementia down to Laguna Joaquin.
Tom and I and Joe had a conference about that, and I think we nixed the alternative about the buried pipe from either Chesboro or Clementia to Laguna Joaquin just based on the overall cost. And I think he was going to take a look at trying to utilize our natural drainage ways as an alternative way to get water in the Laguna Joaquin. Is that correct to your recollection, Tom?
Say that again.
So instead of analyzing, you know, what would be a highly cost prohibitive alternative of piping water from either Clementia or Chesbro to Laguna Joaquin, I think you had asked them to take a look at utilizing the natural drainage patterns that we have to get water from.
Correct.
Clementia or Chesbro to Laguna Joaquin. And then the other portion of that request was taking a look at moving water from Chesbro to Clementia without having to shut the water plant down. That was the second piece.
She's actively working on this.
I would say he probably has someone taking a look at it, but this Lake 11 thing and some of the other items that I've been asking for have taken precedent temporarily.
Okay, thanks.
Very good, thank you. I have no comments, so we are moving on to adjournment. Thank everyone for attending this morning, and have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Here, everyone, thanks.
Thank you.